right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
You're gonna get 3.5 hours of us today.
Yeah.
3.5 hours of us. Aaron might hop in at some random point, not realizing that we've completely commandeered the show from his presence for this one. We gotta rush through this here. Well, we don't have to rush too much, but we have to deliver the news, as you know. Man, do you know how difficult it is? So for the listeners, we just recorded the first episode of the official Wilder West podcast.
So excited.
Yes, it was very good. Hour 40 of us chatting about the future of current state and future things. And now we're going to do the news. We're going to do some great news today. Remember we were talking about good or bad news weeks when the news is good or bad?
Sure,
this has got to be the weirdest news week of them all. It's
yeah,
entirely airplane related news. It's
so many airplanes.
What's going on?
I don't know.
Before I hit the TLE Nation news button, like, what is going on?
I'm not sure. I actually began to think, just, you know, thinking adversarially, is this an op? Like, is this an op by Airbus or something? Because it doesn't seem like, you know, anytime you encounter something like this, you have to ask, okay, is all of this happening all the time anyway, and we're just being alerted to it? Or is there really some issue? But I think at this point, from stories that we will certainly get into on the other side of our intro, it appears that it's not an op, and it appears that there are some pretty significant problems within the manufacturing base of airplanes used in the United States and abroad.
You know, you say that, but it's every day there's multiple stories.
Yeah.
What could have possibly precipitated that? I have collected 17 airplane related news stories since the start of the month. It's the 13th. Mm-hmm. It's the 13th. We're not even at the Ides yet.
No.
And there have been more news stories than there have been days of the month at this point. I mean, there's airplanes falling out of the sky, hitting one another in the sky. There's wheels falling off of airplanes. There's doors opening from airplanes. There's people killing one another on airplanes. There's the gas running out on airplanes. There's pilots falling asleep. There's birds hitting jet engines. It's crazy.
It's crazy up there, man.
Why even fly anymore? Why even fly? It's a miserable experience every time to go flying, and you might die.
Mm-hmm.
You may die. You will die if you take a plane. TLE says you're going to die. If you're listening to this on a plane right now, say a prayer. It's going down. It's over for you. One less listener for our show.
Yep.
What if all 7 of TLE's listeners die in plane-related incidents?
In the same plane.
And it lands directly on in a Walmart parking lot.
It's art mimicking life or life mimicking art, right?
It's bad. It's so bad. I truly don't even know how to introduce the subject. Like, I don't know where to begin. What do you want to hear?
I mean, just so long as we cover the one topic, Do you want to get into some of the more whimsical, lighter misfunctions of airlines?
Yeah, I'll find one. Door okay. flies off of plane outside Buffalo.
That'll do. That'll do. That punches the ticket.
We probably remember this one. So a door falls off of a small plane carrying two people. Small problem. The plane landed in the suburb Cheektowaga in Buffalo. Didn't kill anybody. The plane was only in the air for 7 minutes. And that, I mean, at this point, if you're in the sky, you are asking for it. This is the sign of the times. It was a small local aircraft, and you might go, well, that makes sense. There probably aren't a lot of inspections. Okay, genius. Then tell me about the 737 MAX 9 aircraft, Alaska Airlines, that was missing critical bolts whose door also flew off just about 2 days before that. Tell me about that then.
Yeah.
What do we do? There's no commentary that can be offered.
No, you just observe it and you say, yes, there's another door. I mean, there's a door that is, you know, was supposed to be there and is no longer there. And you file it away.
Here's another one. Freak winds take an Alaska Airlines plane 800 miles an hour faster than the speed of sound. The Atlantic jet stream.
That's awesome.
Pushed not one, but three airplanes to supersonic speeds in the jet stream. Dude, and you look at the inside of this, and it looks like a movie set. The plane is shaking around. People are screaming and crying. They're shitting. They're pissing themselves. Some of them are coming. It's a really bad thing. I'm actually looking back at TLE 160's notes because this is where I collected a lot of the news stories. Underneath it all, it says, newest trend is that the listeners are going to kill me. I don't know if that's related or unrelated.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. What else do we have?
Determined.
Another one. Here's another. They wanted them. I was in the boardroom chat earlier today, and they said to me, why don't you just do a whole episode on planes? And I was like, well, because how are we going to do an hour on that? It'll be really boring. And they're like, well, just run through the topics quickly. Fine. This is what you asked for. A skydiving plane makes an emergency landing over southern Mexico and kills a 62-year-old man on the beach. landed a plane on a guy, a skydiving plane. They landed on somebody. He's dead.
What are the odds for that guy?
Really? Like, what do you? I imagine him. He's got that thing, and like in the 70s, all these movies had this like tinfoil newspaper that you would hold to really maximize the tan.
Yeah.
And he sees the plane through the
reflection in the tinfoil.
Ay, Dios mio.
Ay, Dios mio.
Dead. Blown to shreds by a fucking skydiving plane. All the skydivers are fine. Okay, you want to hear another one?
I do. We have to.
Well, hold on. Thank you. Thank you, airliners, pilots, and everybody else who listens to TLE. We're here to talk about one subject, planes. Here's another story for you, Carr. Delta passengers showered with maggots after they fell from plane's overhead compartment.
Maggots? Why? What was...
a Delta flight flying from Amsterdam to Detroit.
Oh.
Who do you think's on that plane?
As if it couldn't get any worse. As if it couldn't
right,
get any
you're
worse.
Going to Detroit. Yeah, that's got to be a sign to not go to Detroit. A Delta flight from Amsterdam to Detroit was filled with some unwanted stowaways. That's right. Maggots that fell onto disgusted passengers from an overhead bin while flying on Tuesday. The gross bug fest had spilled all over all of these passengers after a fish was infested upon and placed into passenger storage in the carry-on luggage section. 2 hours into the flight, there's a rotten fish with maggots in a carry-on bin that spilled out and fell over everybody. Absolutely blood-curdling, if you can imagine. There's pictures of the fish. Their eyes are full of maggots. It's disgusting. It's absolutely gross. It's terrible. Apparently, the airline gave the travelers who suffered from the incident a $30 meal ticket, number one. Mm-hmm. Hotel room compensation for one night.
One night just to get over 8, it, where you can shiver in the corner and get over your literally trauma.
Hopefully it has a fucking working shower in it for all these people. Yeah. And 8,000 free miles. 8,000 free miles. That's what they got.
Not bad.
Fly more, they say. Here's what you'll want to do. Fly more. And you know what's really bad about it? They're 8,000 commercial class flights. They didn't even give them first. They didn't even give them first.
Jeez. It's a sad state of affairs.
Needs to stop. It needs to be stopped. Here's the next story. You want another one?
Yeah, I mean, we're obligated, right?
We're obligated. Man, husband, 63, dies besides his wife when liters of blood shoot out of his nose and mouth all over the interior of an airplane flying from Bangkok to Germany.
What?
Horrified passengers screamed and were left traumatized when a German husband started coughing up liters of blood in front of his wife before collapsing and dying mid-flight. He was visibly ill when he got on the plane, and his condition rapidly deteriorated. The man's name, or are they not releasing the man's name? He has not been named. Okay. The man, who was traveling with his Filipino wife, I don't know why that's necessary, got the cold sweats and was breathing much too quickly before passengers rushed to start helping him. They offered him some chamomile tea. They took his pulse. As the plane took off, his health rapidly declined. He started spitting into a bag, gushes of blood. His nose started running with blood, spattered all over the walls of the Airbus that he was in. You should see some of the pictures. It is horrific. No word on what the other passengers were given, 8,000 flight miles, or who knows what they were given as a consequence of this. A flight attendant asked him if he was okay. He said no, which is a good. That's good. The pilot arrived at a airport in, doesn't say where, I think Poland. Took him till Poland to really fall apart. A Polish medic with bad English skills arrived to ask the man how he was. It seemed that he was okay. They took off again. So this is twice. I didn't even read this part. They had to take off again, twice. Take off again, dramatic deterioration. This is when the blood starts gushing out of his entire face. And then he died.
Jeez.
The captain announced over the loudspeaker that somebody had died on board. I didn't know if that's what they would do. That's what they do, I guess.
That's insane.
I wouldn't think you would do that. Yeah, I don't know why you would do that.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. But I mean, maybe it was a pressure related issue.
Do you want to know what the passengers were given?
Oh, man. What, like a free Denny's gift card or something?
A $10 voucher.
Oh, my God. So, yes, that's basically what they were given.
A $10 voucher.
Lord, man, that's wild. I guess from the airline's perspective, it's kind of out of their control, but that's wild. I mean, that's
okay. The next one, here's the next one. A passenger from a Spanish flight going to Manchester, England was found dead on the plane toilet.
What?
The crew discovered the man, who had not been named. He died. They had to divert over Cork, Ireland. He shit himself to death. This is what you wanted. This is what you wanted to hear, listeners. I know it's not. Those passengers were also given a $15 voucher, which honestly, nobody knew the guy died in that case, which seems worse to me than a $10 voucher. Seems worse to me.
Yeah, there seems to be some sort of
uneven-handed. We're going to keep going. Dealing. You ready to keep going on this?
Yeah, yep.
Do you think any of our listeners will still be here by the end of this one? This is very upsetting. I don't know.
Depends on how long we go, I suppose.
Yeah. So here's the next one. Here's the next story. Oh, my God, there's so many. Okay. The next one is another Alaska Airlines flight was carrying pets. It arrived at the airport it was going to with the cargo door open and several pets missing. $1 billion lawsuit for Boeing for Fido being turned into paste 40,000 miles from the air.
Yep.
New York Post writes. Okay, let's do another one. You want to do more? Let's do another one. Listeners, you'll never want to hear another. American Airlines flight 777-200 collides with Frontier Airlines flight A320 midair. Midair.
I didn't hear about this.
Midair, car. Right in the air. Over. Don't get on an airplane. Okay. I got another one.
Did they die or what happened? I assume.
It doesn't say.
That's crazy.
It just says they collided. Maybe they had a near miss or maybe a chip on the wing or something like that or a bump. I don't know. But you don't want that, do you? You really don't want that to happen.
Oh, that was in Miami. Okay.
Here's another one. United Airlines flight took off with fuel shooting out of it. The flight was scheduled to fly from Sydney to San Francisco. The plane recognized the problem quickly and went back to Sydney soon after takeoff, literally pissing fuel out of the side of it.
Saw that. I think they determined that was hydraulic fluid.
Just, I mean, whatever it was. What a disaster. Okay, finally, and here's the marquee story. A 62-year-old Boeing whistleblower, Josh Barnett, was found dead in his truck after he failed to show up for a legal interview linking to a case against Boeing. So Barnett worked for Boeing for 32 years. He retired in 2017. After retiring, he started to come out speaking about how Boeing was cutting corners on their airplanes. And just a few days before his death, Barnett gave evidence in a lawsuit against Boeing. He claimed Boeing deliberately fitted subpar standard parts onto their planes. He also accused Boeing of having faulty oxygen systems, saying that 1 in 4 breathing masks would not work in an emergency situation. He said new plane builds were being rushed, and when he brought these concerns forward, they were initially ignored by the company. And this started in 2017, so this is not like 2 weeks ago when he started these accusations. When he died, Barnett was taken to a Charleston hospital. As he was being interviewed in cases against Boeing. So this is mid-interviews, not literally he died mid-interview, but he's in the process of interviews right now, found dead. He was supposed to come back for more questioning on Saturday. He did not show up, and so inquiries were made to his hotel where he was staying, where he was found dead in his car in the parking lot. Police have investigated the situation. They say that it is a self-inflicted wound, suicide to the right temple. They found his body with the finger still on the trigger of the gun, which doesn't sound suspicious at all.
Right.
Here is, hopefully this will play. If it doesn't play, I'll put it in the post. Here is an interview with Barnett where he alleges some things about Boeing. Okay, you can't hear it. I'll rip it into post. He goes into the problems of Boeing. He talks about, you know, what the issues are, what he's alleging, and now he's dead. Now he's totally dead and gone.
Sheesh.
You think he was killed?
I think you need. Can you turn the thing off because I can hear my echo.
Yeah. Do you think that he was killed? Any possibility?
Is there any possibility? Yeah, certainly a possibility. Who knows, but you're messing with big players, right? I mean, that's pretty dangerous territory. So yeah, I'd be curious to see what comes of it. We'll
Yeah.
It's definitely suspicious.
Yeah, it really is. I don't want to fly ever again. I don't know what to say because. So this was the initial topic, and this was a topic in the boardroom chat as well. Is this just over-reporting?
So, you know, like I said in the beginning, I think that that's something that I've been considering. Not just over-reporting, but also, like, could it be a malicious attack by another industry actor? Like, paying off media to report about Boeing. But at the same time, man, these lawsuits are real. Like, and Boeing stock is down. There's real stuff going on, and it seems to be happening in an accelerating clip. And that's being reflected in real things like lawsuits, and groundings of airplanes and so on. So, you know, it can be both, but I think that there is something underlying here that's going on. People have been talking about, I don't know if you know this. And I don't know that much about it, but I do know about it from being in the engineering industry, from going through engineering school. And my dad's a pilot, and an engineer. So the Boeing going back decades, you know, back to the whenever 30s, 40s, 50s, Boeing had always prided itself as an engineering company first. I mean, it really tried to maintain the culture of engineering. Like they wanted, you know, how in, Sparta, you know, everybody was a warrior first. Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's engineers. They were a warrior first and then a, you know, a gardener or a poet second, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think that was the type of culture that they tried to, imbue at Boeing was that we're engineers first. And then we're everything else that we need to be in order to make this company function second.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years that has eroded, it was led by, in the old days by people who apparently were pretty renowned, for their leadership capabilities and for their ability to keep the company on that track. And in recent years, probably through a variety of things, that plague a lot of companies, that quality has waned and that dedication to quality, uh-huh, more importantly, has waned. And you're seeing that, you know, it takes a while to digest and it takes a while to come to the surface, but I think you're seeing the results of that being put forth, you know, to the New York Post day in and day out these days.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. On a lighter note, just the other day, a Boeing 777 took off, lost its tire, and it crushed three cars on the ground.
That video, I think, stands alone as the video of this era. Like, there is something about it that it's so, yeah, like, solitary and lonely and informative at the same time. Like, you just see, especially if you watch it without the sound on, you just see this airplane take off, and as the landing gear is folding up, just a wheel just kind of falls off. And it's like, man, that's stunning. That's it. That's where we're at here is, you know, just a wheel is coming off. The wheels are coming off.
Yeah. The wheels are absolutely coming off. Yeah. I think that you're right. It's analogous to a larger trend, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a collapsed version of all of the stories. There were multiple doors that flew off. I think one plane's, whatever it is that controls the pitch and yaw of the plane on one side, mm-hmm, of the wing stopped working on one of these Boeing flights recently. They couldn't turn. They just had to kind of land somewhere. It's shocking that, I mean, this is over-reporting. From what I understand, not long ago, I spoke with a friend of mine who interned at the Post, and what he basically explained to me was the New York Post has its ethical guidelines and its editorial guidelines, and they do, without being explicit about it, they do write into the language certain subject matters that the Post will focus on for the quarter or for the year or whatever it is. And it does seem to me that if you are really looking at a lot of these plane stories, their origins, a lot of them are coming out of the New York Post. And so it is over-reporting. But like you said, the lawsuits are real. The events are real. So it's either the case that planes are getting worse, which the lawsuit alleges, but it's also the case that this is just happening, that this possibly has been happening for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, ask the guy who had to gut it out for a 7,000-foot descent with open air to his left if this is real. It's real. Like, it is too real, you know?
You remember Tiffany Gomez? There are ghosts on planes. Yeah, I know you do. I know.
Yeah.
And I know that was an op, but at the same time, there are lots of evil things going on these planes, and now there's people being killed over it. I have to expect a threatening email to show up on this very podcast. Will you cease and desist reporting about airplanes? The answer to that question is no. We will not cease and desist. We will continue to report the news. And what we're going to learn, I think, is flying planes may be the most dangerous way for people to travel. If you're the lawsuit that they just killed this guy over alleges that the quality of the planes is going down.
Mm-hmm.
That's real. Or at least it's as real as his allegation is, which I tend to believe since they killed the guy, allegedly. I have to say allegedly don't I? Since they allegedly killed the guy, the CEO of Boeing, allegedly with his bare hands, like strangled the guy to death.
It started with a simple pitch to me, like, what do you think this was? And now you just bulldozed through, like, yeah, so they murdered this guy with their bare hands.
Bare hands, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to attack the listeners with even more of this. You know, you're going to get a slightly short episode today because nothing happened except that every plane that went into the sky had a malfunction, and I don't want to do an hour of that. I really don't want to do an hour of that. There's other news, but it's nothing like the content that's been given to us this week.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. I may have mentioned this in a previous episode, but I've gotten slightly spooked about it to the point where I have future flights booked and I checked to see what I'm flying in, and for the next one it's an Airbus, and I was like, oh man, thank God.
Right.
Not a Boeing.
Yes.
Not well, that keeps me safe, but
we'll give a king of the week out. You want to do a king of the week?
Yeah.
We'll cycle off of airplanes. We'll do a king of the week. Listeners, you got a lot of content over in the Patreon, so you'll go over there whenever we do Peter out of this episode, but a man in Green Bay with a one-of-a-kind first name was taken into custody after an alleged disturbance on the city's east side. According to the criminal complaint obtained by Local 5, this is a local Green Bay reporting sector, 42-year-old Deez Nuts Kroll was arrested following an incident involving a gun. On March 5th, around 10 p.m., officers were sent to the 900 block of East Walnut Street for a reported disturbance. And when the officers got on the scene, two people were brought into a squad car and placed in the back. Additionally, officers took Deez Nuts Kroll into custody. That is his birth name. Deez Nuts Kroll. That's the name on his license. They say Deez Nuts was highly intoxicated. He did follow officers' commands, and it was mentioned, again, on his Wisconsin ID card. He doesn't have a driver's license, unsurprisingly.
Of course, yeah.
His name is Deez Nuts Lee Kroll. The two people who were originally brought into the squad car say that they were arguing with Kroll over the phone at about 8 p.m., and 2 hours later, they found that the door to their own residence was locked. One person said that Kroll opened the door and punched them with a closed fist in the shoulder, leading to a physical altercation. At one point, Kroll got into his car, got his gun, and pointed it at the two of them. Authorities later found that the gun was a CO2 BB gun. It was reportedly loaded with 8 silver 4.5 millimeter BBs were placed into it. And when the officers interviewed Kroll, they claimed that he was talking in circles. He was incensed, highly drunk. And several times did he demand that the officers refer to him by his proper first name, Deez Nuts.
Oh, man.
He has been charged with a misdemeanor battery charge leading to 9 months in prison, potentially, and a disorderly conduct use of a deadly weapons charge, which leads to about 90 days of imprisonment, increased to about 6 months due to having a dangerous weapon. I guess a BB is considered a dangerous weapon. And court records show that D's Nuts had his initial appearance on March 6th at 2 p.m., a signature bond of $1,000 was placed on him, and we expect that on April 24th, he will have a conference on his future status. No more information was provided, but if we hear more about D's Nuts Kroll, we will certainly let the listeners know. So, King of the Week to D's Nuts Kroll for having his legal name be D's Nuts.
King.
King of the Week.
Whew.
A Queen of the Week award, because we're doing this now that it's International Women's History Month. We're doing a Queen of the Week award. You ready for this one?
I am.
You're going to like this one. Former U.S. Representative George Santos, who was expelled from Congress, is running again. He's running again.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
George Santos was expelled, as you'll remember, because he was charged with federal charges of defrauding his donors in 2022. He took a trip to Brazil. He dressed like a drag queen, danced around, had a great time, and then he was charged for it. Persecuted is what he was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's back. He made an announcement that he would be coming back after he attended President Joe Biden's State of the Union address and mingled with his former colleagues who voted to kick him out in a blistering report by the Ethics Committee. He was approached by New York One News. And announced that he will be returning to the arena of politics and challenging Republican Nick LaLotta, who represents New York's Long Island district, which is a different district than the one that he represented before he was expelled. So he's moving on to a different district. LaLotta said in response to this, "I suspect that this primary challenge from Santos is a retaliation, but we're going to take this seriously anyway." And so the latest play for public office is happening. It was met by many groans by the Republican Party in the area. And the Suffolk County GOP chair, Jesse Garcia, who is the GOP chair of this is in Suffolk County, obviously, where this is happening. "The people have no appetite for this bad comedy show to continue. His candidacy and whatever petitions he might file will have the same level of credibility as the degree he claimed to have when he attended Baruch College," which, if you'll recall, he did not get a degree from Baruch College. There's almost nothing true that's known about George Santos other than that he is indeed running again. So we're going to give a Queen of the Week to George Santos. Congratulations, Queen. We look forward to seeing you again soon. How are you feeling at this moment, Carr? Are you blistered with news?
I feel like I've been battered, taken through the emotional stages of grief over airlines. I was briefly lifted up by both the King and the Queen of the Week, and I've restabilized. I'm ready to attack the next news items. I have very little news of my own, as I've been spending most of my time in the stinky snail position working on the Wilder mm-hmm. West. So I was not mm-hmm. able to prepare adequately for this episode. So unfortunately, I'm going to be, riding shotgun with you for the duration.
Well, that's fine. We have a couple more news stories here. We're going to end it early. But again, there's lots of content sitting for you on the Patreon. If you want to go over there, we got an hour and 40 minute long Wilder West that just came out. It's going to be great. I'll take you to the next news item. But before I do, Carr, I want to get your sentiments. I want to get your general sentiments. We talked not long ago about I would call it a scientific matrix that proves to us that all news is good news. Are you mm-hmm. feeling that way?
Yeah. Oh, more so than ever. And I think now that I have the mental framework by which to file new news items, I think that it's congealed into a worldview.
I will say we had our scientists at the board do a little calculation for us. And in the span of time that we've seen all of the different brands of airlines offer us their various cavalcades and disasters, one airline has stood above them all in preventing incidents from happening in a span of 30 days. I didn't check more than that, but in 30 days, I saw just about every major airline that you could name that flies domestic in the United States and sometimes internationally, and only one name failed to appear. One airline proves to be the most stable and safest of them all. Do you want to take a guess at what airline it was that hasn't shown one news story?
Oh, man, I hate this, but I bet it's some
dog
shit air. You know what it is. Is it Spirit? Is it Spirit?
It's Spirit Airlines, baby. God. Spirit Airlines is the safest, confirmed, safest, least newsworthy airline in America.
Oh, my God.
Fly
man,
Spirit.
That's a pickle right there.
Is it? What? I mean, you have to choose between death or flying with other Spirit Airlines passengers. It's an easy
it's
one.
A pickle.
It's going to be an easy one. Well, let's talk about other high places, if you will excuse the pun. Stoner rats were found eating up marijuana in New Orleans police evidence room. They're all high. That's what the New York Post article tells us. Apparently, I need to get the amount of weed that was eaten, but eaten, and you know, every word that I use here, I'm going to do air quotes with, because you know exactly what really did happen. But apparently, the basement of a New Orleans police department was recently flooded, full of water, and because of that, the rodents started to get in. I guess their evidence room is in the basement, and they had multiple pounds of marijuana just sitting around in that basement around the time of the flood. Well, they cleared the flood. They left the weed there, apparently. And it was recently discovered, not but a week ago, that at least $7.6 million of marijuana was consumed by rats in the basement. Now, does that sound real to you?
The real part to me is that the marijuana is gone. The remainder of the story seems perhaps less than truthful.
Now, we're just getting news about this right now at the present moment. But I want to point you to the fact that it is New Orleans, that we are midway through Lent, and that the origins of this story occurred, meaning the discovery of the lost marijuana, occurred not but 3 to 2 weeks ago. Do you know what major event occurs in New Orleans not but 4 to 5, 6 weeks ago?
Yep, I sure do.
Mardi Gras, yes, that's right. The party of the century. Let's just say some intrepid police department officers, down on their luck and only being paid some $30,000, $40,000 a year, may need to make a little bit of extra cash. Well, what way would you do that if you had $7.6 million of marijuana and a rat problem? You would sell all of that shit is what you would do to people in town.
Yep.
Or you would distribute it amongst the various dealers to have them sell it for the kickbacks you get. Mm-hmm. As you know, the New Orleans Police Department, as most others, is probably just the largest mafia in the region.
Yep.
So that's what they did. I love the idea that the Criminal Justice Committee officer who did the investigation goes into the basement, notices there's $7.6 million of marijuana missing, and the officers go, it was got to be the rats. It had to be the rats that ate it.
I saw a lot of rats down there yesterday.
The really annoying thing is that, as you probably know, as a fellow marijuana enthusiast yourself, you probably know that the only way that marijuana actually gets you high is if you ignite it. The THC only works if it's ignited and it's turned into smoke or some other form like that. This is really like the police officers are talking about how the rats are acting silly and goofy.
Yeah. Right.
Which is not what would happen. You could consume 1 million pounds of marijuana. If it's not lit on fire, it's not going to get you high. That's just not how
correct.
It works.
Right.
So, really, what is going on? I mean, we know what's going on, but
what
is going on?
How are they selling that to or pitching that to people? I don't know if people are buying it.
I don't either.
But, yeah.
But that's we don't know that there's a furthered investigation is the thing. They just bought this. You know, they just were like, okay, fine. That's what happened, I guess. Rats. Rats ate here we go. New t-shirt. Rats ate all my weed.
Yeah. I mean, you may or may not know this, but New Orleans and Louisiana in general is like very, very corrupt. It's very difficult to do business there if you don't know people. It's like that type of place. Furthermore, I'm pretty sure that marijuana is decriminalized there, and I think they even have medical. So, my guess is they were sitting on a shitload of pot that they've been confiscating over the years, and they're like, "Well, it's kind of silly for us to be sitting on this.
We need new Ferraris at the department.
We need new Raris,
and we need new Raris. So we're gonna flip some bricks on the street corner and buy us a new Rari. Yes, exactly."
Would not doubt it.
Nope, not at all. Okay, we'll do one more story. Another queen of the week. This time, actually, a woman. We'll really give it to the ladies this week. You'll probably remember Tiffany Henyard. Tiffany Henyard is the mayor of Dalton, Illinois. We covered her previously. She's currently embroiled in a lot of legal conflicts. I actually think she was a previous queen of the week. From Aaron, I believe he nominated her. Well, she's currently under investigation for misusing funds, taking lavish trips. You recall the soundbite of her denying that she went to, I don't know if it was like Cabo or Cancun or something.
Oh, yes.
Whatever it was, wherever she went. Maybe it was Las Vegas, I think actually it was. Well,
yeah, I think it was Vegas.
So Henyard, the village board of Dalton, Illinois, unanimously voted to open up a probe into her, and no pun intended, and the village's financial records invited the FBI to conduct its own investigation. So the FBI is conducting its own investigation, but the village is also conducting an investigation, or it was, until Tiffany Henyard just the other day vetoed the possibility of an investigation into her own office.
That's awesome. So
she basically said to the board, go kick a rock. The FBI will do the investigation. I'm not letting you do the investigation. She really believes that she's being attacked. The board meeting that occurred was sensational. I don't know if there's any videos about it, but the people coming out of the board review are freaking out. There's, I don't know if you know, but there's a $2 million deficit. The town is seeing a $2 million deficit. $400,000 Henyard used to trim trees. She used $400,000 of that $2 million. It's estimated that $1 million of that $2 million deficit went to personal trips, purchasing clothing, purchasing drapery, and other personal amenities, both for the mayoral house and for her own properties. About $1 million.
That's awesome.
So queen of the week to her. How I really truly feel is the money is yours if you can get your hands on it. That's how I truly feel about being the mayor. If I was the mayor of Childeberg Town and there was a $2 million deficit, I will shrug my shoulders and go, I was able to use it, so it was mine. It's powerful stuff.
Well, very good. We support our queens in their quest for more money.
We really do support them as much as we possibly can. Okay, I'll leave the listeners on a positive story here. Something that may translate to future listener gatherings. A group of nudists planned a bowling event in Pittsburgh at the Pittsburgh Lanes. The Pittsburgh Area Naturalists hosted their first Balls Out bowling event at the Crafton Ingram Lanes in the Pittsburgh area. So apparently, I'm sorry. I said this was the first time they did it. This is the sixth time they've done it, actually. In the last 3 years, they do it twice a year. They get completely naked. They rent the entire place out, and they bowl in the nude. Nudity is required, except with the exception that women can wear bottoms.
Okay.
So this is really a balls out event. Balls of all kinds. Boobs, testes, balls out of all kinds. Violators will be asked to leave, they say. No photography, no video allowed. You are allowed to bring a towel. Obviously, you need to be over 18. You can be. It's open to all skill levels. And if you're in the Pittsburgh area and you're a TLE listener and you're bold and ball forward, we would really like you to go to this event and report on it for us. We really would request that from our listeners. I just want to know more.
Yeah. Yeah, get out there. Get out there, get your balls out there, and see if you can throw some strikes.
And you will be guaranteed a spot on this show if you're the first person to get it done and message us about it. We need some proof that you attended. I don't know. Maybe you could take like a nude selfie in the bathroom of this place or something. I don't know. Something like we need a proof that you were really there. But the next upcoming event is Sunday, April 28th, 2024, 4 to 7 p.m. at the Craft and Ingram Lanes in the Pittsburgh area, hosted by the Pittsburgh Area Naturalists. If you can get out there, show us some proof, you will get on the show, and you can tell us all about it. Sexual activity not permitted. No hanky-panky. Yep. Strict stuff, right? Strict stuff. Strict nudists. Yep, they certainly do. Well, I know it was brief. I know it was short, but it has to be savored. Quick news week this week. Extra content on the Patreon. We're feeling very optimistic. I think we'll probably put out, I always say this, and probably about half the time we do it, but I think we'll put out another linear mail. There is more news to go through, but in the interest of preserving what we have, I'm going to keep it like that. Keep our episode like that. We're going to get Aaron on. I'm really trying to get Aaron to do this Boys Town episode that he wants to do, investigating Patriot Front. So we're going to try to get push towards
that's
that.
Interesting.
We'll definitely get a linear mail out regardless of that. And yeah, that's what we've got for the week. Carr, any words of wisdom, any feelings that you'd like to communicate with the listeners?
Oh, I don't know about words of wisdom, but definitely look out for my Wilder West segment. I'm also going to be recording with Lee later today, and I assume that'll come out pretty quickly. So, that's pretty much all I got going on. I'll start collecting news items for next week's episode and start compiling some more Wilder West ammo.
Very powerful. All right, well, that's all the news I have.
Sweet. All right. Well, I guess till next week, two hands on the wheel.